and we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup, and yes, we are here this week in the studio at Manhattan Neighborhood Network, which has been wonderfully smart and kind to open up for us, and a few other things, but we are thrilled to be here with you, you know, in current time.
We're okay. We're distancing.
We're physically distancing, if not social distancing. First, I want to thank Maren Johns very much for being here last week. I thought she did a terrific job. Thank you, Maren.
Was it only last week? It seems like a year ago.
Time is moving very slowly these days. And we have a major announcement. We have decided, and MNN has decided, that they will offer this show live starting next week on Facebook. We will be a Facebook Live event in addition to all our regular airing times here and around the country. So if you are available at 2:30 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday afternoon starting next week, you can find us on Facebook doing this show live, warts and all, as they say, at MNN on Facebook. But you have to type in MNN for Manhattan Neighborhood Network and then leave a space so it will go to the right part of MNN.
The first thing that comes up will be Manhattan Neighborhood Network, and then you go to that page at 2:30 Eastern. If there happen to be any delays, we'll put a little slide up, and we'll be coming to you
all
in a few minutes.
Or you'll see us running around the studio or whatever.
You will be able to talk to us.
Live call-ins.
As well.
Be gentle, as they say.
We do.
Don't be gentle, but be real.
Okay. We think it's important enough to come in here and talk about how the LGBTQ and the AIDS communities are dealing with this crisis.
And the fact that there is a lot of news going on, even in the midst of this crisis, that you're not hearing about because the news networks are so obsessed with doing the crisis 24 hours a day. Not that it isn't important, but there are some other things they're missing.
Yes. I mean, while we're all dealing with a crisis, legislatures are still up to their mischief in state legislatures and, in some cases, passing bigoted bills.
We will tell you about some good court decisions and, of course, the news from the primaries this week.
Chelsea Manning was finally released from jail after trying to take her own life.
New York City appointed a new cultural affairs commissioner, and he's a gay man who has been running the major LGBTQ art museum in New York.
Yes, he identifies as queer.
Oh, okay.
Okay. A trans woman who was discriminated against by a real estate broker in New York has won a settlement from the Human Rights Commission for $75,000.
And we're going to mourn the loss and celebrate the life of a non-gay man who was famous in his Wyoming community for wearing dresses and a civil rights pioneer in the Episcopal Church.
And Argentina gets its first prime-time transgender news anchor.
All right. So starting with the coronavirus, because that is, of course, the top of the news and the thing most interesting and important. I think what people want to know immediately is people living with HIV, are they more at risk? What are the things to watch out for? What, in fact, does put our communities at most risk? And the answer is that if you are living with HIV and you are your immune system is healthy because you're on good medication, you are not at more risk than the rest of the population.
The question is, as for everybody, is whether or not you have an underlying condition. If you have another condition other than HIV that you are not able to take care of with drugs.
Well, certainly if you have a chronically vulnerable immune system, either because of HIV or anything else, that is something that can put you at risk. diabetes, lung issues, heart disease, cancer.
Being our age is a risk factor.
Yes, that's the risk we took by coming out today. But smoking is a big risk factor because it does put your lungs at risk. And this is all about lung infections. So,
and apparently a lot of our folks smoke disproportionately, and that's a problem. And of course, I know this is a tough time to give it up, given all the stress that we're under.
Yes. I recommend anti-anxiety medication. But the flip side of this also is that there has been talk, as we search desperately for treatments, not let alone a vaccine, are antiviral medications that people with HIV are using, are those in fact treatments for coronavirus?
Well, in some cases, the Chinese and others are trying them out on people. And of course, I'm reading in Wuhan, people with HIV are having trouble getting their drugs.
Well, the Association of People Living with HIV and AIDS in Switzerland, called the Positive Council, I think, Positive Council Switzerland, yes, has put out a call for people who are on Keytruda to bring in their supplies and switch to another drug themselves.
If you can.
If you can, because Keytruda in particular is being examined as a possible therapy against coronavirus. Now, it has its own side effect issues.
Yes. All drugs do.
Yes. So none of this is any perfect answer, but they are looking at antiviral drugs.
There are other drugs that they're trying out and showing early promise, because this is the thing. It's going to take at least a year to come up with a vaccine. I mean, they have ideas about it.
Please, it's taken 40 years and we still don't have an HIV vaccine.
Correct. So we don't know that that's going to happen. We need treatments. And there are some treatments that are showing promise. This is for people who have come down with this because for many, of course, it has caused their deaths. For others, it has caused serious lung damage. And we need that kind of mitigation if we're going to get this thing under control.
Now, you mentioned Wuhan people with HIV having trouble getting their drugs. There is an LGBT center in Wuhan, China, and some of their leaders were trained at a leadership training thing by the LGBT center in Los Angeles, and they are now organized to pick up and deliver HIV meds to people in Wuhan. It's actually quite a moving story of how they've organized themselves to do that.
I posted earlier in the week that we're all eventually going to know somebody who has this. And, I know Council Member Richie Torres in New York.
Yep.
I was just at a party with him on February 22nd, big gathering of February 22nd, a big gathering. But a member of his staff got it. And he got it. There he is. He's a young man. He's 32 years old. He was elected when he was 25. He's running for Congress now against the Ruben Diaz Sr., who's an anti-gay bigot up there in the Bronx, for an open congressional seat. So his whole staff is self-quarantining. There was another council member in New York who got it, Charles Barron, a former Black Panther.
Well, he's
69 years old.
He's now in the Assembly.
No, he's back.
He's in the Assembly, and his wife is on the council.
His wife is in the council. You're right. Thank you. I remember.
And Helene Weinstein has it, too.
He's quite,
also from the Assembly.
Right. So these are people that we know. I'm sure we're all going to know people very, very, very soon if you don't already.
Yeah.
But that brought it home for me.
All right. Skipping through a few headlines. In New York City, the GLAAD Awards were canceled.
What wasn't canceled is the question.
The Sage Center was closed. Community centers in the Bronx.
Well, of course, what wasn't canceled was the National LGBTQ Task Force's winter party, which went on for days in Florida with 10,000 attendees. They didn't cancel it on March 10th. Now, again, things were shifting at that moment, but they didn't cancel it, and at least they are notifying people, well, we've had a bunch of people have tested positive from that party, and you need to...
They don't know for sure that it was from that party, but certainly there are people who have turned up positive who were at that party and may have infected others. And I find it a little disturbing that They say, well, we did the best we could. We made sure there was lots of Purell around, and we put up warning signs.
While thousands of people were dancing with each other.
Well, I was very offended this last weekend to read, or last week, to read in Gay City News this whole long list of organizations, museums, libraries, Broadway, everything closed. And then there's this section, gay bars, open, 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 open. And I wrote a very angry note to one of our big listservs saying, really? Is this how people are going to conduct themselves
at this
point? Well,
I have news for you. West Hollywood has the highest rates of COVID-19, the coronavirus, in L.A. County. One out of every 7,000 residents has it versus one out of every 107,000 overall in L.A.
Well,
and that's a gay area. It's a nightlife destination. And they, you know,
and that's without testing for the most part.
Right.
The L.A. Community Center it remains open because they are a big service provider
in
the area.
Well, I'm on the board of New Alternatives for Homeless LGBT Youth.
Yeah.
And we had a big conference call about how we're going to handle this because we have a group meal every Sunday. So what we said was people will go in and cook the meals and deliver them at the door in bags to the clients at the door. Counseling will be done mostly on the telephone or on Facebook or whatever with the clients. I mean, we've got to protect everybody in this case.
Yeah. Now, I also read a few days ago, and I don't know if this is still true, so update me if you know better, that Atlantis has a Caribbean cruise scheduled that they have not canceled.
And they won't refund.
Yes, no refunds, and the cruise is going on. Now, I hope that has changed since last I looked, or since we say this, and you see it a few days from now. But that, I mean, with all the cruise ship stories, how dare they?
Now, you know, of course, you know, heartbreak. I mean, everything is heartbreaking about this. But, I mean, the entire theater community is essentially shut down. I mean, they started off with the Broadway houses and then all the off-Broadway, too. So our friends at Broadway Cares are raising $1 million for those in the entertainment field who have been impacted, which means everybody in the theater. And, you know, Broadway Cares, what I love about them is that they do this in half a day. They decide this is where the need is. Puerto Rico and then the earthquake in California.
Yep.
They just they don't
wildfires
dither about it.
Wildfires
yes.
in California. All right. LA Pride has canceled or postponed their June Pride parade. New York has not yet. They sent out a note saying they're all working from home now. They're holding meetings online, but they have not canceled the or postponed the New York Pride Parade scheduled for June 28th. Well, we are continuing to hold meetings on the phone. We have discussed the idea of postponing, but we're taking a wait-and-see attitude. We're certainly not going to hold it if it is dangerous. It would only be if all clear was announced, yes. But we are continuing to meet and negotiate the march route and other events. But we're certainly prepared to pull the plug when and if necessary. And Palm Springs has been locked down in California because they have a large older population. And California as a whole is being very cautious. Yep.
So the whole Bay Area.
Yep.
And they're debating that in New York.
HRC's upcoming dinners and events have been postponed. The Callan Lord Health Center here in Chelsea is open because, again, they are serving people. They are a health center, and they've closed their Bronx outlet, but the Chelsea Center is open.
And, of course, a place like the Allie Forney Center, which houses homeless LGBT youth, they have to stay open. It's their home.
As with the Sylvia Rivera Center, too.
Right. Now, let's talk a little bit about our government, the racist.
Can I just insert that it has been pointed out that masturbation is a great stress reliever and protected activity.
Yes, and I've been getting emails from porn sites that I never heard of, which are saying we were 2 weeks free during the crisis. I mean, come on.
But the Free Speech Coalition, which is a great supporter of free speech across the board, has asked the porn industry to take a pause for a couple of weeks in filming because, of course, that is direct contact.
Right. All right. Well, you know, I mean, obviously very discouraged by the, by our government's response to this. More concerned about corporations than people. We'll see how all that works out. But, you know, our government spent the equivalent of the entire U.S. student debt to rally the stock market for 15 minutes. And you saw how that worked out. I mean, this is $1.5 trillion. So, and then, of course, you know, we talked about a little bit about it last week. You know, the only two adults in the room whenever they do their press conferences are Tony Fauci and Deborah Birx, both with a, that's why I'm gonna get to that. Both with a lot of background in HIV. You see Dr. Fauci there towards the to the left of Pence there in the blue, and Dr. Birx, the woman just to the head to the right of Pence. But I hate watching her head nodding up and down while the president is speaking or while this creep is speaking. I mean, Fauci doesn't do that, but I don't even think they're being clear enough and strong enough. I think here's what has to happen. They are the scientists. When Pence and any of these others say something that is flat out wrong, and I've done this at press conferences and other events, I say, well, with all due respect and with respect, that's not true. And here's what's true. And you will be listened to. I mean,
I think Fauci has done a little of that.
He has, but not in real time.
You know, Fauci has a checkered history, and he was slow on the AIDS epidemic. And let's talk a little about the comparison here, because I actually got a call from a reporter asking me to compare the AIDS epidemic response. And
another one.
And I was, you know, trying to put it all together. And I, yes, Reagan didn't respond fast enough for years. And Trump has responded ridiculously and lied and put it off. But the time differences are significant. And, you know, tens of thousands of people died of AIDS before the government paid any significant attention. And only because we did yell at them, shut them down, do everything we could to humiliate them and force their attention.
I mean, slow responses to epidemics, pandemics, allow them to spread out of control. Now, in this case, this one is a virus that was easily transmissible, and it moved very fast around the world. But, you know, we had months to prepare once we saw what happened in China, and we didn't. And we didn't have the offices in place to do it. So, you know, but when you don't control it, I mean, the fight, look, our activism, everybody's activism certainly helped get treatments online for people with AIDS.
But eventually,
the statistic is 35 million people have died around the world from HIV because they waited years to deal with it anywhere seriously. And 35 million more people are infected. Yeah. And I never saw that. I have fights with some people, you know, some people from ACT UP who say how great Dr. Fauci is and how great Dr. Birx is. Well, you may have had good relationships with them, but where were their urgent voices when
they weren't?
You know,
they weren't. And presumably they've learned their lesson. They now cite AIDS activism as a model. But I don't know. You know, at the time in the 80s, we would say, look what they did when 20 people got sick with Legionnaire's disease. It was full court press to figure out what
AIDS.
To do about that. Yes. And then AIDS happens and, you know, crickets. And stigma and punishment and discrimination and violent attacks.
And Trump is trying to get away with
houses being burned down.
Trump is trying to get away with stigmatizing Chinese people, which is nuts.
And Democrats and everyone else he can put his hands on or not put his hands on.
Well, that's been his M.O. for his entire life. You know, never take responsibility for anything. In fact, he directly said, I don't take responsibility for that. No, I don't. The President of the United States.
I know. It's amazing. I'm trying not to touch my face.
I mean, look, you know, it's not all on you, but you have an obligation, and you are the one who disbanded the global pandemic office.
Which he also doesn't take responsibility for.
That wasn't me.
I don't know anything about it. Talk to Tony. And remember, there are only 15 cases, and soon we'll be down to one.
And I will.
But the fact remains that as, you know, horrifying and worldwide as this is, and God knows what's to come, But at this point, we're counting the deaths in the thousands.
Well, at the moment.
At the moment, I agree.
By the time you see this.
It could be certainly a lot worse. But, you know, we
wonder.
Come
on, the projections are, you know, millions
yes,
dead
yes.
from this as
well,
a result.
I will repeat, 35 million dead from AIDS.
Unless they can get these treatments going.
Treatments would be great, and people protecting themselves and taking this seriously and not going to crowded bars or Atlantis
and if
cruises
Mike, if
would be great.
I listened to Mike Pence refer to the president's guidelines for coronavirus 5 times in 1 minute. I mean, he kept repeating that phrase. It was obviously nauseating, and I wanted to put my foot through the screen. And then the acting head of the FDA, this white-haired guy named Brett Girouard, you got a picture
something
of him?
Something like that. Yeah, G-I-R-O-I-R.
Well, I mean, he didn't sound too unreasonable. He's the acting head of the FDA. He's a big anti-abortion activist who has worked to take away access to birth control and abortion as the assistant secretary at HHS.
Well, I have a new nominee for Villain of the Week, Representative Andy Biggs, Republican of Arizona. Andy Biggs did not want to vote. He, in the House, in fact, voted against the
Families First
virus relief bill because the bill included help for all kinds of families, including domestic partners who might be caring for each other's children.
And specifically same-sex partners.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Andy Biggs. That is a great priority to have in the middle of a worldwide pandemic.
This Andy Biggs has a history of supporting hate groups, including United Families International, that links homosexuality with pedophilia.
Yeah.
All right.
And meanwhile, are we about through our immediate virus report? So while all this is going on, you might think, you know, what else is there to think about? Well, the Department of Justice found something else to think about. They held a training for their lawyers on how to discriminate against LGBTQ people by enforcing these religious freedom laws.
Career lawyers in the department were angry that they were being educated how to screw LGBT people. And the response from Justice was, oh, religious freedom is the first right protected by the First Amendment. And Barr told the National Religious Broadcasters just last month that Augustinian Christianity is at the root of our democracy. What are you talking about?
It's not the first time he said things like that. Oh.
And then McConnell is, you know, of course, you've seen it's taken a while for McConnell to act as we sit here.
At least he's acting.
The Senate bill hasn't had, he has been going around because of this crisis and the fact that it may impact on the reelection of Donald Trump, talking to older federal Republican judges saying, you might want to retire right now. We'll get a young buck in there who has no experience, but he'll last forever.
All you have to do.
And emphasis on the he.
All you have to do is take senior status. You'll still get your full pay. Your workload will be a little lighter, and we can replace you in your regular seat with a younger, like the 38-year-old know-nothing bigots they've been putting on the court. He wants to accelerate that. He's not waiting for openings. He's shoving people up to senior status so he can create more opportunities to get these people in office.
Your country
needs
you.
Before Trump is gone.
Well, the hero of the week is a guy named James Dannenberg. He is a judge. He's been a retired judge in Hawaii, a law professor. And what he did this week is he resigned from the Supreme Court bar, which he has served on since 1972. These are people who can practice before the Supreme Court. And he wrote this letter. Do you have his picture up there? He wrote this letter telling Chief Justice Roberts that the court's boundless solicitude for the rights of the wealthy, privileged, and comfortable harkened back to the pro-big business era of the court in the early 20th century. He said, you are allowing the court to be an errand boy for an administration that has little respect for the rule of law. You are weaponizing religious liberty to allow officially sanctioned bigotry, overturning precedents, some more than 40 years old. This is radical legal activism at its worst. I wonder if this has any impact on any of these people.
Of course not.
Well,
I Really? Do you think it does?
Well, I mean, look.
I hope it alerts people.
Roberts has been terrible, except on one or two issues.
Yes.
You know, a couple of, he's helped save Obamacare. Who knows what he's going to do to it now? Oh, they have put off deciding about Trump's taxes.
Of course they have.
Because of the coronavirus. Any excuse.
Yeah. And what else is going on at the Supreme Court? You know, Kim Davis, the Kentucky clerk who refused to hand out marriage licenses to same-sex couples, even though it was legal for them to marry. She's been rejected by court after court after court in trying to appeal her, you know, loss of that principle. So now her appeal is at the Supreme Court. Roy Moore... Yes. of Alabama has submitted an amicus brief in that case and has asked the Supreme Court, you heard it here first, months ago, to overturn the Obergefell and Windsor court rulings to again go back to no same-sex marriage.
Well, we don't have a majority for those decisions on the current court. The only thing that would stop them would be too much time has gone by, too many people are married. We'll find a way to hurt these people, but we can't completely overturn it.
I am not counting on the Supreme Court to decide that too many people are married and too much time has gone by. If they want to screw us, they will screw us.
Sorry to give you more bad news.
And just a side
this
note,
week.
Some of you will be disappointed to open up your census forms and find that the only gender ID available to you is either male or female. No non-binary, no, you know, not... No, not anything, yeah. Just male, female.
People are suffering. Let's give them some good news.
Go right ahead.
In Indiana, the Court of Appeals read the Riot Act to a circuit court judge there who grossly mistreated a trans petitioner who was seeking a name change. They cited the guy for lack of respect and really let him have it. And U.S. District Judge Loretta Biggs in North Carolina denied summary judgment to an employer sued by a trans employee for transition care.
Okay. And I think it's good news that Chelsea Manning is finally out of prison. You may remember that she was in prison in Fort Leavenworth for years, and Obama commuted her sentence?
Yes.
And pardoned her or not?
Commuted the sentence.
Commuted the sentence. And in fact, she had still served more time than anyone ever for the kind of prosecution she faced.
So she tried to take her life, and then the judge let her out.
Oh, wait, we're not quite there yet. She did try to take her life a couple of times in Leavenworth, but Obama let her out. She was out, and then the courts in Virginia tried to get her to testify against Julian Assange in a WikiLeaks case, and she said, you know, this is all nonsense. I am not testifying. This is all trumped up.
What she said was, I refuse to participate in an effort to frighten journalists and publishers from ever doing this again.
So they put her back in prison on the grounds that she had refused to testify. And so, therefore, she was supposed to be in there for the length of the grand jury. What they do if you refuse to testify to the grand jury, they're putting you in there for the sitting length of that grand jury, and then you're eligible to be out, and then they can put you in again the next time the grand jury is convened.
And then they added $1,000 a day fine.
Yes.
So she ran it up to $257,000.
So in that term in the Virginia prison, she again recently tried to take her own life. And the court finally let her out and said...
Well, they just said, your testimony is no longer needed.
Yeah.
But there was a fundraising drive, and in 2 days, they raised more than that amount that was owed.
I was thrilled to see that. And raised money
for living expenses for Chelsea.
Yeah. Now, footnote to that, she can be put back in. The attorney general or DA can convene another grand jury... call her to testify again, and if she refuses to testify again, they can put her right back in prison. This can go on indefinitely unless some court says cut it out. She is not to be asked to testify again. But at the moment she's out, the fines are paid, and best of luck to Chelsea.
All right. What do we think about what happened to Andrew Gillum this week?
Oh, my God.
He was supposed to be in Miami.
What happened to him? What he did?
Well, he was supposed to be in Miami Beach for a wedding. There he is. You remember him. He almost won governor of a Democratic governor of Florida. Lost very narrowly. Seemed like a great guy. But he was discovered in a Miami Beach motel room with two other men, one of whom is a gay male escort, 40. He was inebriated. Andrew was. He has a wife and kids. But he says he turned to alcohol, and his dad was an alcoholic, and he had a lot of stress after he lost. The porn star, Travis Dyson, was on crystal meth. Gillum and he were vomiting when they were discovered by a doctor. It's a very tawdry story.
He asserts that he never took crystal meth, that the problem for him was always alcohol. He's now checked himself into rehab for alcohol and deeper issues. It turns out there have been a lot of rumors over the years that he was gay and closeted. The fact that he is in a
or bisexual.
Motel, bisexual, certainly. The fact that he was in a motel room with a gay male escort doing alcohol or drugs or whatever is not evidence.
While he was in
that.
Town with his wife and kids for the wedding. All right.
Well, anyway, we're sad. He's
a mess,
and we're glad he's getting help, and we hope he does get help and takes that seriously.
All right. I want to get on to some. Well, we could either go to state news, or I could give him. We haven't even talked about the presidential primaries. For God's sakes,
okay.
We pretty much have a candidate at this point.
Right ahead.
Joe Biden.
Yep.
It seems to be over. In the last debate that they had between Bernie and Biden, they had a big dust up over the Defense of Marriage Act because Biden
voted for it.
And so he steps in and says, I've done more for same-sex marriage than anybody, and I'm the highest official. Well, yes, when he came out for it in 2012, yes, that did push things along. It pushed his boss along, Barack Obama. But I see people on Facebook saying, yeah, he's done more than anybody, and he did it earlier.
Sake.
I mean, this is like nuts.
Please.
But, you know, he's there now. We're glad he's there now on the issue.
And in these primaries this week, that all of which he won, again, exit polls show LGBTQ self-identified voters to be a significant portion of the electorate. In Arizona, 10% of the voters identified themselves.
Now, Anne, are these both and who go to the polls on both parties or just the Democratic primary?
I do not know the answer to that question. Well, it's the Democratic primary.
They are having Republican primaries in some states.
I don't know, but 10% in Arizona, 8% in Florida, 10% in Illinois.
Okay.
Those are huge numbers.
And in Illinois, that conservative Democrat Congress member, Dan Lipinski, who was opposed to abortion, opposed to same-sex marriage until they finally said it was all right. He lost to this woman, Marie Newman, a progressive challenger. And
this is not the first time she's gone after him.
She got very close the last time.
Yep.
Lipinski or his father have represented the district since 1982. Ms. Newman is the founder of an organization called Team Up to Stop Bullying after one of her children was subjected to severe bullying in schools. This is the kind of person you want in the Congress. Also, I didn't report last week that Todd Gloria, the out gay guy who's running for mayor of San Diego, is basically on track to do it. It's our eighth largest city.
Can I take a note of personal privilege?
Yeah.
One of my best friends in high school, her daughter is running for the city commission in San Diego, and she was the top vote getter in District 5. Marnie Von Wilpert.
Okay, yes, you can take
a terrific person who did AIDS work in Africa and in Mississippi.
Now, in Ohio, you know, that governor's been very aggressive, so aggressive against the coronavirus. He canceled the primary. Okay. Well, but they have allowed the Department of Health there to hire an anti-gay conversion therapy advocate to defend the transphobic gender marker law in Ohio, paying him or her $450 an hour. This is one of two states that doesn't allow you to correct your birth certificate when you transition.
In Idaho, the state Senate passed a bill saying no trans girls or women could compete in school sports. It now awaits the governor's signature. This would be the first state to go ahead and pass a law like this. And one of the most heinous parts of it is that it subjects all women and girls, trans or cis, to potential testing of their gender.
You have to go to the doctor and get a certificate. You have to pay for that.
Yes.
It's insane.
And it could be anybody. You know, if you're a little butch, they can say, we want proof that you're a girl, and we want you to go get a blood test or whatever.
It passed 24 to 11 in the Senate. But the legal fees, they say, will be paid by Alliance Defending Freedom to defend the law, because the attorney general of the state says, I think this is unconstitutional.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, in New York State, trans minors can now change their birth certificates with their parents' permission.
By the way, the Idaho bill does not say, well, I guess it means that trans boys have to play on girls' teams.
Well, that is always the interesting question, isn't it?
In Iowa, state troopers forced LGBTQ high school students to leave the Capitol building because some had used restrooms of the gender with which they identify.
They were lobbying at the state Capitol, and they were complained about by, I think, their opposition, who said, they're using the wrong restroom. And state troopers came in and threw them out.
One of the state troopers told a trans boy, you're a little girl, and if I let you in the men's room, you're going to be sexually assaulted.
Oh, for God's sake.
The Iowa Civil Rights Act was violated in this case. The state patrol said they should have... Oh, they wanted these kids... They apparently have gender-neutral restrooms that they want these folks to use.
Yes.
However, I'm
sure there are one or two.
Are you sitting down? A Senate subcommittee run by Republicans in Iowa advanced a bill to ban gay trans panic defense. So that's
shocking.
Shocking.
Yeah.
In Raleigh, the LGBT center there was plastered with anti-LGBTQ stickers. All of this is part of the reaction to having drag time story hours around town. And it's
drag queen story hours.
So what are they saying?
You said drag time. Yeah. Protesters are now following people around the state to these drag queen story hours to stand outside or inside, for all we know, protesting the drag queen story hours.
But in Kansas, a U.S. District Judge Daniel Crabtree denied summary judgment to Galena School District, which was sued under Title IX by a teen subjected to unmerciful homophobic harassment by other students, with an ineffective response from the administration. And the Harvard Medical School of 2019 was 15% LGBTQ.
Which is very exciting news. And a survey out of Harvard, done in conjunction with the CDC, surveyed 29,000 teenagers around the country, 87% of whom are straight, 13% were LGBTQ. And they found that lesbian and bisexual girls were twice as likely to be in fights, gay and bisexual boys five times more likely to be sexually assaulted. They called it a public health crisis for LGBTQ teens who are put at risk of violence and discrimination on a daily basis.
Right.
And what are we doing? What are we doing about that public health crisis?
Okay. I want to do a couple of good news stories.
Okay.
In New York, we have a new commissioner of cultural affairs, Gonzalo Casals. We have a picture of him. He is the out queer director of the Leslie Lohman Museum of Art in Soho, which is a
great
LGBTQ museum.
Yep.
He used to work at the Museo del... What is the actual name of the museum? The El Museo del Barrio, which is the Latinx museum up there. He's widely seen as an activist, lives in Jackson Heights with his partner, Leo. He's a lecturer.
He's a good guy.
He is totally dedicated to art for enriching the lives of all New Yorkers, not just a select few. By the way, the first out paid commissioner in New York was Henry Geltzahler. who was gay and appointed by
Museum.
Ed Koch, of all people, in 1978, I guess it was.
Mm-hmm.
You see him in the paintings of David Hockney. He was a good friend of his.
More good news after bad news in New York. In Brooklyn, trans woman Gianna Desir was awarded $50,000 from the Human Rights Commission for having been discriminated against by a real estate broker. This is on top of the $25,000 that a court had already given her. The broker sexually harassed her, told her she wasn't allowed to live where.
Well, she comes in for a meeting with the broker, and you can't live around children and people, he said. He said, "Oh my God, why didn't you tell me you were transgender? Oh my God, I'm glad you came in here at night and nobody saw you, because they would have thought that I was asking you to suck me off," he said. I mean, this is what he said to her. This is what you get $75,000 for.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the Human Rights Commission does have higher penalties these days.
A couple of sports stories. You talked last week about the golfer Scott Piercy, who had been criticized and penalized, and we think penalized for his homophobic remarks online about Pete Buttigieg. One of his responses was that people got the wrong idea of me. No, I think we got the right idea of you, Scott. And the PGA commissioner, Jay Monahan, did issue a public statement saying it was a significant disappointment to see what he'd said. You suggested that he was not being fined.
We don't know.
Well, they never announce fines on the PGA Tour. They never do. And I think the implication is that he has been fined and punished. We don't know that for sure. But
he was like, he retweets a lot of stuff from far-right sites.
Yes, QAnon.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to update that a little. And
we've told you about the pro... should we talk about him?
Sure, go ahead, and then I've got another one.
We've talked to you about the pro wrestler Mike Paro. Well, he married his longtime boyfriend, Morgan Cole, last weekend. He came out in 2017. He was raised Catholic. He tried conversion therapy. But he said, conversion therapy was the first time I met all these other gay people, and I learned how they lived, and it helped me come out.
There's nothing
I realized it wasn't a choice.
Look, meeting other gay people is a fantastic revelation. I highly recommend
it. And he says when he came out publicly, it helped his career.
Safer, happier, more successful.
What more could you ask for?
That's the formula. Meanwhile, the lawyers for U.S. soccer, who are in this lawsuit with the women soccer players who are asking for more pay and whatever, so they submit a brief in the case that says women have less skill and responsibility than male players. The women have won the world championship repeatedly. The men can't even get in the tournaments. They're so bad.
This sounds like something out of the 1950s.
Players and sponsors were repulsed by this. No, it sounds like the argument that Bloomberg's lawyers made against marriage when they quoted Leviticus.
They did.
So the president of U.S. soccer resigned. The whole thing is in an uproar over this kind of argument, which is great.
I want to talk about a couple of people we lost this week. One is Sissy Goodwin, Sissy Larry James Goodwin. He has died at the age of 73 in Wyoming. He's a man who, there he is on, I think you can pick him out on the right there. He was married to a woman for 51 years. He liked to wear dresses. He's not gay. He has a phrase for himself that I will get to in this, but he had a penchant for women's clothes. He did experience some harassment, windows broken, tires slashed, beaten up in Salt Lake City and back in Wyoming. But his students once dressed up for him in hair ribbons and pink shirts. Senator Mike Enzi there in Wyoming once said that, he's asking for it if he's going out like that to bars.
Men in tutus should expect to get beaten up in bars,
so
said
bars
Senator
in
NG.
Wyoming had a live and let tutu event. and he also worked, by the way, with Veterans for Peace. He described himself as a gender-enhanced male, a gem. That is, I cross-dress. A sweet guy.
You also said last week that, and see, when I'm not doing the show, I watch the show very, very carefully.
Good idea.
But you said, we have to say goodbye to Thomas Kreber. And I thought, oh, my God, people are going to think he's dead. He is not. You went on to explain that he's retiring from Hedrick Martin as its executive director. But I just wanted to make it very, very clear that it's only a moving on for Thomas.
And we want to mourn the loss of Barbara Harris, the first woman ordained as a bishop in the Episcopal Church back in 1989 in Massachusetts. She's died at 89. Her election as a bishop sparked death threats, and they said, we want you to wear a bulletproof vest, or I
she
guess
did.
Vest meant. No, she said, I'm not doing it.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
I thought she did.
Eugene Robinson
did when he was...
She supported Gene Robinson.
Yep.
But she spoke to Integrity, the gay group there, and she said, if indeed God, who doeth all things well, is the creator of all things, can some things be more acceptable than others? Obviously, answer no. She marched with Dr. Martin Luther King in Selma. She worked in Mississippi to register voters. She worked as a prison chaplain. That was her first job. A trailblazer.
Absolutely a trailblazer.
Right.
And finally on my list for national news, Michigan State University study, LGBT people benefit from having LGBT friends, as I said a minute ago. It's really important.
All right. International news?
Especially these days,
You know, if they're not scapegoating Jews for the coronavirus crisis, they're scapegoating us. And the chief imam of Ghana called for hand sanitizers outside mosques, and no more meetings for LGBTQ people.
Well, the government banned a big conference that was scheduled for LGBTQ
they
people.
They did, and we have a picture of the guy
on
there.
The grounds that they have a sodomy law.
Davis Makiyala, who is Ghana-based, he's Nigerian there, is the one who was trying to have the conference. It would have been a first there. But we have a picture of Davis there?
We do. Are we out of order, maybe?
No, I don't know.
He should be there as the next picture. Yes.
African guy, Nigerian guy, actually, but
he's been on this show.
He has. That's right. We know Davis.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have a big sodomy law there. They don't use it, but they use it as an excuse to stop conferences. And in Nigeria, two homophobic vigilantes trapped and brutally beat a gay man to death. The victim fought back to protect his friends by eating his SIM card so they couldn't find out who was on his phone.
Oh, my God.
There were guys who confessed to the attack. The victim, the perpetrators, they're called Kito, K-I-T-O. It's a Nigerian word for people who set up, extort, and kill gay people. Activists are trying to fight back, but the government is extremely hostile there in Nigeria.
Surrealism and everyday life story of the week. England. Local councils in England want LGBT youth to prove that they are homeless with a letter from their parents.
Oh, my God.
And the Privy Council in the UK is going to hear the Bermuda marriage case in December. That could have implications for British Commonwealth countries around the world.
Putin is going to rule forever. You've read that this week.
I know that.
It's very bad for the gays.
And in Buenos Aires, Argentina, there is a new trans woman, Diana Zirko, who is a news anchor for the nightly news.
She's tough. She wouldn't go to her high school graduation because they wouldn't do her a certificate, a diploma that had her new name on it. My presence, she said, challenges society.
She looks great. And
she said, I got very close to sex work. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I learned how to be a hairdresser, and that got me going.
To news? Mexico City, they held a mass wedding for 140 LGBT couples.
I don't know if that's a good idea in the current times. In Australia, the conservative government is once again delaying efforts to protect LGBTQ students and teachers.
We should move along because we only have 10 minutes and I want to spend some time on entertainment news.
Okay. In AIDS news, England, by the way, is finally offering PrEP for free. It's been a long struggle by activists to get that online.
And
everybody's going to want it once they find out it cures coronavirus, if it does.
Well, that's the problem. People do want it, and that's a problem for people with HIV. In Virginia, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld an injunction against the Air Force They want to discharge people with HIV. They're in court trying to do that. They wanted to do it immediately. The Fourth Circuit said, no, you can't do it while the court case is on. And in Boston, the Fenway Health Clinic there put out a study that says that PrEP use is not what it should be because there is a fear of side effects and doctors are not educated enough on its use.
Well,
and on Grindr, people are chatting more than meeting these days.
Sure.
Which is a good thing. All right. Entertainment news.
All right. Well, Pete Buttigieg has found one new gig. He's the host of the Jimmy Kimmel Show. We got a picture of him. There he is. It was an almost empty audience. His husband was there. He did fine. His run for the office, he said, it turns out I was about 40 years too young and 38 years too gay. Well, you haven't been out that long. He said he was the first gay person to win a primary and the first gay man in 30 years to wear pleated pants. And he taped this skit. Well, they wrote jokes for him.
That's
he
funny.
Taped this skit where he tried to get a job at Wetzel's Pretzels, and he's interviewed, and the woman is like, she's like not having it. He doesn't know what to do.
Just because he's incompetent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he was handing out too many samples.
Mm-hmm.
He interviewed Patrick Stewart and did a skit with LeVar Burton.
I just noticed, and I usually try to keep more abreast of these things, that there was a sixth season of I Am Jazz. It almost passed me by, but
transgender youth.
Yes, Jazz Jennings and her progress through life as a teenager. It's available on demand for the most part. I had to look at a couple of episodes in the middle on Amazon Prime for $1.99 each. I don't like to do that. But I did because it's a really, really good, important, informative, moving, emotional show. And I highly recommend I Am Jazz. Her story is amazing and they're so real. And I think we told you at one point last year that she'd been accepted to Harvard. Well, this goes through the whole thing of her deciding whether to go there or Pomona, and was Harvard going to be too stressful, and her parents are pressuring her to go to Harvard, which was just
15% of the medical school class is LGBT.
Heartbreaking to watch her parents pressure her. And in the end, by the end of the season, she's taking a gap year before she goes to Harvard because she is an emotional, fragile mess. And she needs some help to get herself together. But what a role model. What a brave person to put her life on TV in this way.
Sure.
And I couldn't be more impressed by her and hopeful for her health and success.
The Plot Against America has started on HBO based on the Philip Roth novel about Lindbergh becoming a fascist president of the United States and the effect on Jewish families in Newark. We do look forward to seeing our friend Shep Wannan in episode 6.
No, episode 4.
Four?
He corrected it.
Oh, he corrected it.
He says he's in episode 4. One-armed guy in the hospital.
Okay.
I was not...
And a big fan of the show.
I was not swept away by the first episode.
No, but it's very chilling. And you see how easily it can happen because it's already happened here with Trump.
Well, Vanity Fair said that the beginning is a little stilted, a little didactic, but it gets rolling more as it goes along. It's only a 6-episode series, so I'm hanging with it for the moment. But the one that really just... moves me so much is My Brilliant Friend. Season 2 has just started on HBO.
Based on the Italian novel by Elena Ferrante?
Correct. Series of novels. It's a 4-novel series. So the first season did novel 1. This is novel 2, My Brilliant Friend, The Story of a New Name.
These are huge bestsellers.
And the young women who play the two main characters, two girls who grow up together in the outskirts of Naples after World War II, they are just mind-blowing. They're so good. And I thought season 1 was good. The first episode of season 2 was so amazing. I sat there with my jaw down because it was so as opposed to The Plot Against America, it is so beautifully paced and so has the most wonderful rhythm and beauty and horror, too, in that first episode. But I, you know.
It is in Italian, and so there will be subtitles.
Yes.
I saw two plays back-to-back in London based on this, which I hope comes here eventually if we ever get to go to the theater again, where two 60-year-old women played the characters from childhood to adulthood.
Wow.
And they were
also
terrific.
I've seen a list of recommendations of things on Amazon Prime, and a couple of them really struck me. Movies we've recommended here that we've seen at film festivals over the last few years. Rafiki, the Kenyan lesbian movie, which is very charming, has its own little moments of horror, but really good. Rafiki. And Suicide Kale, which is one of the funniest, best movies I ever saw.
K-A-L-E?
K-A-L-E. It's a lesbian comedy from L.A. Really, really good. So if you have Amazon Prime, you're looking for a way to fill your time at home, Suicide Kale and Rafiki, and I'm watching 000, the Italian mafia, Mexican drug cartel thing. It cheers me up as opposed to the coronavirus.
Yes, we can't watch the news all the time. We try to keep up with it so we can convey things and condense things for you. We hope this is useful to you.
And if you don't have any of those streaming services, on BET, 20, so the new Lena Waithe-produced series, which is really a lot about her life, autobiographical of a young butch lesbian in Hollywood trying to get a break as a writer. Very amusing, very charming. 20s. It's just a half hour each week. Very cute and funny, so I'd recommend that. At the Disney annual meeting, a shareholder stood up and said that LGBT content is destroying the stock price. And the new CEO said, I think it's coronavirus.
Abigail Disney, who is an heir to some of that, a descendant, she's on that list of 34 millionaires and billionaires who say, you've got to redistribute wealth in this country and tax us at a higher rate in order to bring the society, make the society whole.
Exactly.
You know, people have multi-million dollar homes and other people can't pay their rent.
So, in our last minute and a half, we are committed to being here whenever we can. As we say, our home, Manhattan Neighborhood Network, has made this possible for us.
And thank you, thank you, thank you.
Very grateful.
To everybody here.
Yeah, and hope that we're providing a service by being here and telling you the news that you may not hear elsewhere. And to repeat, next week we will start a new phenomenon. This show on Facebook Live, warts and all, whatever, you know, sometimes we make mistakes. Amazing! 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday afternoon. This show will be live on Facebook. Now, you can also, we will still be distributing it as we always do. It'll be on MNN Thursday nights at 11. It'll be around the country at your usual viewing times. But if you want to see it live, Facebook Live, 2:30 p.m. on Wednesday, and you can call in.
And we urge you to get on our email list, if you would. Go to gayusatv.org. More and more of you are joining, and it's another way for us to keep you up to date.
Yeah, we can certainly give you any breaking news on that email list, so join us there, gayusatv.org.
Thanks for being with us, and take care of yourselves.
Please, take it.
We will.
Pay attention. You know, we're distancing. You do it, too. Bye.